Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you with power in the word, woman to woman. Praise God. I had a little bit of technical difficulties this morning, but God is good and worthy to be praised, and we are here anyway. We are here anyway. I'm excited about today's program, and just get ready. Get ready to be enlightened, because we have with us today Brian O. Lynch, who is the author of The Rules to Love. And this young man is passionate about what he does, and I'm just excited to have him on the program today. We'll also be joined by Lady Renee. And again, this is Woman to Woman, and I apologize for being a few seconds late. But I had to hang up and call back in, and I missed my introduction and everything. But you know what? God's timing is the best timing, and I'm not going to be overly concerned about that. I just pray that those who have been ordained to hear what Brian Lynch is going to be sharing with myself and Lady Renee today will be here and will continue to let others know. Call somebody up. Call somebody up and tell them to tune into Power in the Word today, because we're ready to talk about the hot topic of relationships. And even as I'm speaking now, I'm playing around with my switchboard because I do have my guest on. Brian, welcome to Woman to Woman. You're on the air. Okay. I am having the devil is a liar, you know, and God is still in control. Amen. God is still in control. I'm going to bring my guest back on and open my switchboard, but let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, I praise your holy name. Lord, I worship you. You are worthy to be praised. I thank you for life today. I thank you for life and life more abundantly. I thank you, God, for just being God in my life. I thank you for every listener that is tuned in already. I thank you for every woman that has turned on her computer to come to listen to this radio show on today. I thank you for every caller. I thank you for my guest, Brian Lynch. I thank you for Lady Renee. And I ask, Father God, that you, Father God, will just be with us during this time and help us to say the right words to lead those that are looking for relationship answers into the right direction, lead those in the right direction. So, Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Bless this young man as he is on his quest to enlighten others about relationships. He's passionate about what he does. Bless him and his ministry, even though he doesn't call it that, but bless him and his ministry. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray, amen, and praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to open up the get my guest on the line. I want to welcome Brian Lynch to the program today. Welcome to Woman.
How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. You probably can't tell, but anybody that knows anything about the spiritual aspect of things will know that when you're on the battlefield for the Lord, you're going to come up against a lot of spiritual warfare.
That is so true. The devil will always try to put a stumbling block in the way. You just have to be persistent.
Amen. Amen. I buried my father last week, Brian. I went down to Florida. He passed away on the 3rd, and we had his funeral actually on Saturday, this past Saturday. And we went down there. We drove down, and on the way back, I'm in New Jersey, so in Maryland, about 4 hours away, I started having van trouble. But the Lord got us home. Let me tell you how good God is. He got us home, and we were in my driveway, parked before this car stopped working.
Wow.
So God is good. Amen. And praise God. And I'm well. I'm well because, you know, my ultimately, God is my father, and that's a whole nother show. I went through some things with my dad, but God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. There was forgiveness, and we were able to have a relationship in the latter years of his life.
Praise God.
Amen. And that's Lady Renee. Welcome, Lady Renee, to Woman to Woman.
Thank you, and I'm so glad to be here. I want you to know I missed you.
I know I canceled on the last minute on you last week.
No, but you let me know. You let me know that you perhaps you may do that, and I understood. But praise be to God, you're back, and God is good. Amen.
Amen, amen, and praise God. And we're going to continue to give him the glory
amen.
Because he is worthy.
Yes, 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 hallelujah.
Now, are you both getting the feedback from my phone?
Yeah, I'm hearing the feedback.
No, I mean, I can hear you okay. I don't hear anything. I mean, like, I don't.
Yeah, I'm kind of hearing my self echo. I don't know if it's my phone or your phone.
Okay, I don't hear an echo.
Okay,
Brian, do me a favor. Can you call right back in so we can just see if we can get this glitch out of the phone?
Okay, sure, I'll do that.
Okay, great, wonderful. And Brian, don't you leave your seats. Listeners, those of you who have tuned in, don't leave your seat. Don't leave your radio. Stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a hot show today, and we are going to have Brian call back in. He's still on. I haven't been able to hang up. Mm. Okay, but he has called back in, and I'm still getting feedback. Even while he was gone, I was getting feedback.
Mm.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're going to move forward anyway, and I can't get him on the line. Lady Renee?
Yes, I'm still
How
here.
Are you today?
I'm fine. I'm really fine. How about you?
I'm doing well. In spite of everything, I am really
yes.
doing well. Brian, are you on the air? Okay, he's not on the air. Lady Renee?
Yes.
Okay.
He said he's here because he's in a chat room. He said, I'm here.
Yeah, but I can't hear him.
Oh, okay.
And he's our guest,
yes.
So we need to hear him.
Yes, amen.
Lady Renee, why don't you, today is Valentine's Day, you know, and I'm going to go out and come back in. And
okay.
While I'm doing that, I want you to just really talk a few minutes to those out there who are experiencing the Valentine's Day doldrums, maybe. You know, maybe they don't have a Valentine. I know that you have a word for somebody out there that may not be in a relationship today, and I'm going to come right back.
Oh, praise God.
Praise God.
Well, the first thing that I would like to say is that I really don't, me personally, I don't celebrate Valentine's Day and as the world celebrates it as a Christian woman. However, you know, it's just another day. And although you may, you know, wish that you had someone in your life to share your life with, I want to tell you that as a single woman, you know, you can really get to that place where you are content with yourself. And, I mean, it takes some time because it took me a very long time. There was a time in my life that I didn't feel like I could be alone. I always needed to be with someone. And then one day I really just truly gave myself to God. I cried out to him because all my relationships failed, and they failed miserably because I was looking for someone to give me something that I didn't even have for myself. I was looking for that love outside of myself. And then finally, by really coming to God and selling out to him, I began to really discover that he was the missing key. And I allowed him to love on me, and in turn, I learned how to love myself. And I have to say that I enjoy being alone a lot of times, you know, and find out what it is that you really like to do. Maybe some of you like to read, or maybe you enjoy the outdoors. I mean, whatever it is, instead of focusing on what you don't have, make do right now with what it is you do have. You have yourself. If you desire someone to go, you know, strolling through a nice park with, you know, stroll through that park perhaps by yourself and enjoy the scenes, you know, of nature, you know, by yourself. If you wish you had someone to take you out to dinner, maybe go and take yourself out to dinner. You know, it's nothing wrong with that. Or prepare a nice pampering bath for yourself, where it's just, this is something that you do for you. Because I found that if you don't first do it for yourself and get comfortable doing that and enjoying that, where it becomes second nature, then it's going to be hard for you to begin to even expect someone else to do that for you. So the first thing is learn to enjoy your own company, and also ask the Lord to help you go while you're going through this time. Maybe you just broke up and all these different things, or maybe you lost a loved one far as through death or something. You know, my condolences to you. And I just want you to know that God that we serve, he's able to take out broken pieces and put them back together as though you never was hurt before, but it is a process. So I just want to encourage you today, give yourself that love that you are craving to get from someone else. And as you begin to do that, God, you're going to see how things turn around. Stop focusing on what you don't have and begin to focus on what you do have and making the best right where you are, making the best out of that situation, and watch God show up and show out. Amen? Praise be to God. Praise God. Praise God. So, and getting back to the pampering bath, you can, you know, maybe get you some bubble baths and, you know, light a scented candle, and this is just time for you, and just soak and relax, and don't think about what's going wrong. Just think about the things that you have in your life to be thankful for. Maybe some of you have children, and whether the father's around or not, just begin to thank God, you know, for those children. Begin to thank God for the roof that you have over your head. So it's, I guess my point is, focus on what is working. Amen. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We're experiencing some technical difficulties, and the guest, author Brian O. Lynch, he's saying single people focus too much on a day that was initially designated for married people. Praise be to God. So, and that's true. That I agree with that, because as a single person, our focus need to be more so on how can I serve God better. The married person really thinks about how am I going to serve, you know, the person in my life. As single people, my real advice would be to truly get to know God and allow all your relationships, allow that to be the catalyst for all your other relationships. You know, you need to get to that place where you get in that word and allow who God says that you are to define and validate and affirm you. And you'll find that you will be walking in peace that surpasses all understanding. That means that even no matter what's going on, no matter who's in your life or who's not in your life, you're still at peace and you're able to move on and do the things that you need to do. Because when we don't allow God to define and validate and affirm us, then we're going to be prone to allowing going into a relationship from a position of weakness and not of strength, and that is dysfunctional in and of itself, because then we're prone to look into that other person to define, validate, and affirm us, and then if they're not there anymore, we're lost, and we find it very hard to put one foot in front of another. And In other words, we allow them to take up a part in our lives that was only designed for God to fill. And so, and God is a jealous God. He's not going to have any other gods before him. He doesn't want us making a person or people or anything else into our God. He wants us to serve him. And when we do have someone to love, he wanted to be a careful, well thought out decision. You didn't just get into something or you got bound up in something. In other words, you started fornicating with this person, and next thing you know, you're not, you can't break free. Although you know this is not the love that you really want. And matter of fact, it's a cheap imitation of love, because love shouldn't hurt, you know. And love, I'm gonna tell you something, it's not codependent. See, a lot of times when we go into the relationship from a position of weakness, it's usually a very codependent relationship. We're looking to that other person to make us feel things that we weren't feeling before. And so we're doing a lot of looking out instead of looking within. And so this is why, you know, usually when a relationship comes to an end, which 9 times out of 10 it does, because the foundation is wrong, we're just lost. And some of us go to counseling and things of that nature, only to find out that, wow, you know, I really have handed all my power over to someone else. Now, you can take your power back, and you can decide on today, although you may be accustomed to celebrating it with someone else, but you can make a conscious choice from this point on that you're going to enjoy yourself regardless of what everyone else is doing. You're going to do something that you're going to derive pleasure from, just you. You understand? Irregardless of the fact that there may not be someone else to do it with. Maybe if you have children, do something with them. Make their day. Maybe sit around and do some arts and crafts with your children. I mean, you know, learn to get creative and begin to enjoy your own company, because if you don't enjoy your own company, who is going to be able to enjoy you? Amen? So you have to learn how to get comfortable in your own skin. I used to tell myself I was going to buy myself some flowers. I was going to begin to do all the things for myself that I would have liked to be doing with a partner. And you find, like, take yourself out to a spa, you know, things like that. Do those things for yourself so that they can become second nature, and you will become accustomed to this kind of treatment that you give yourself, allowing yourself to be less prone to falling for someone who cannot accommodate you and be able to, you know, hold you in the highest regard. Amen?
That's true.
Amen. Okay, now, Brian, I'm going to hand it over to you. Praise God.
Oh, okay. I think one thing in relationships is that people focus too much, as I said before, that especially when it comes to Valentine's Day. As single people, they focus too much on the day and what they should be doing instead of their own selves. The fact is, this day was designated just for people who are married. And people just don't want to feel left out of something, so they involve themselves into it even when they're not married. Then you find single people rushing to be with someone on Valentine's Day simply because, you know, society looks at them different, say, hey, what's wrong with you? Why you don't have a man? What's wrong with you? Why you don't have a woman? And it's time that people realize that there is nothing wrong with being single.
Oh, it's definitely not. There's nothing wrong with being single
because you have to first be happily single before you can be happily married.
Yes, come on.
You're not able to be happy by yourself. There's no possible way you're going to be happy in your relationship, because if you're a miserable single person, you're going to be a miserable married person.
Amen, and that is so very true. Amen. Amen.
Because that person does not have any power to change your miserableness.
That's
you know, they cannot make you happy. They can only keep you happy. And that's the, you know, that's something that people fail to realize, that only God can make you happy. And you have to give him that will to make you happy.
Yes, 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 yes. And also, Brian, I find that that, you know, the thing is that there are some miserable married people. And I could really say that being on, you know, because I've come from both ends, you know. I've been married and I'm single. And the thing is that until armed with what I know today, you know, marriage is not the cure-all. A lot of times people want to go into marriage thinking that it's a cure-all. They're looking for their life to become something that it wasn't as a result of the marriage. But the truth of the matter is you have to have the right foundation within yourself. You need to understand first who you are, what you bring to the table, so that you're not coming into a relationship from the position of weakness, looking for what can I get. Let me, you know, what can I get out of this situation? You're going to be coming from a position of strength, which enables you to come into it, first of all, with some wisdom, some understanding and knowledge, and you're looking to give. You know, how can I be a blessing to this person? You follow what I'm saying? How can I enrich their lives instead of, oh, I want someone who can do this. I want someone who can do that. So until we really understand who we are, what it is that we bring to the table, I think that it's really unhealthy to even be talking about a relationship.
Right. And a lot of people think, you know, as you said before, marriage is not a cure.
No.
You know, if the person is a cheater, getting married is not going to stop them from cheating.
That's
if the person is a liar, getting married is not going to stop them from lying. If the person is irresponsible, getting married is not going to solve that problem. So,
Amen.
You know, marriage should be the end result of the happiness that you share together. Marriage should be done simply because you two are in love and you want to be exclusive with this person. You want to show that this person, hey, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And that's what marriage is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be the procurement for whatever ailments you have in. You know, you're supposed to be getting to know this person, being able to communicate with this person, have honest communication with this person, establish a sense of trust with this person, find out where the compatibilities are, and being able to show affection to that person. And those are the things that lead up to falling in love and being able to maintain that, and that's when you get married. But people are now doing things the opposite direction. They're getting married and then say, okay, well, we'll figure out each other after we get married.
Yes.
And that's why the divorce rate is where it is now, because people are taking it, you know, basically they're putting the cart before the horse.
And I think also they're using the wrong criteria to decide who to marry.
Exactly.
And that is a great time for me to come in. Amen and praise the Lord. I love the dialogue that is going on, but that is a great time for me to come in and say that criteria. We're talking with Brian O. Lynch, who is the author of The Rules to Love, and Lady Renee, who is a specialist on relationships in her own right. But you two are just really, you have a hot dialogue going on. But what is the criteria that we should be looking at for someone that we're considering marrying? And Brian, I'm going to give that to you to ask you, what is the criteria that we should even be looking at before we begin to think about marrying a person?
And, you know, just this past weekend, I did a program on marriage. Is it a piece of paper or a piece of heart? And piece of paper is a P-I-E-C-E, or is it a piece of heart, P-E-A-C-E?
Oh,
and
that's good.
But getting into a marriage should come from a peace of heart. You must have a contentment of heart before you think about getting married. That is the only requirement that you should have as far as getting married to a person. And when I say the only requirement, I'm talking about being able to communicate with that person, being able to have honest communication, and being able to trust that person, being able to show your affection, being able to establish the compatibility with that person. And those are the 10 things that I listed. Those are the things that give you a peace of heart. And yeah. Once you can establish those things with that person, it eliminates the idea of looking at a person and saying, okay, well, he's tall enough, or she's sexy enough, or this person makes such and such amount of money, or she's a good cook. And, you know, we look at those criteria as you know, reasons to be in a marriage.
Yes.
And that's when you realize that, hey, if I use those criteria to get into a marriage, then my marriage is only a P-I-E-C-E
of
paper.
Come on now. Come
it's
on.
Not a, it's not something that is heartfelt. It's more so of the physical things that the physical things that a person can contribute to this relationship.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's not so much the emotional things that keeps you together. And that is why when people marry for reasons, you know, the word that I'm looking for is escaping me right now. But when they get married for the wrong reasons,
superficial reasons,
yeah, they tend to getting to that situation and then not knowing anything about the person's contentment of heart, and then when that person's emotions start mixing with theirs, they realize, hey, we don't have any compatibility. You
yes.
like to sit and watch TV. I like to go out and walk in the park.
Yes, come on, come
you
on.
You are a smoker. I
yes.
can't stand to be around smoking. You're this. I can't do that.
Mm.
And that's where you find that they realize that, hey, you know, all we have is a sexual relationship.
Mm.
All we have, you know, the only thing I'm attracted to you about is the fact that you are able to pay my bills.
Mm.
All I'm with you is because the fact that you're a good cook.
Mm.
Or the fact that you can have a child, you can produce a child for me.
Mm,
all these material reasons.
Yes, superficial, superficial.
And the thing about that, Brian and Lady Renee, is that we are willing to overlook a lot of the things that will really bother us in the relationship
yes.
because we have overstepped our boundaries in dating.
Yes.
And we've now gotten into, like Brian talked about, we've gotten into the sexual aspect of the relationship. We've gotten into somebody paying our bills, so now
yes.
we're dependent upon them.
Yes.
And we were even having kids before
bonded.
We get married. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Bonded.
So,
and we've allowed those things to, you know, to bind us to this person that we know is not able to really go the distance.
That is
true. You know?
Yeah, and we have experienced black men on the board, and he says something about standards. Brian, why don't you talk about standards for a little
yes.
while? Because it looks like a lot of us are working without standards within our relationships.
When you consider yourself a man or a woman of standards, you must have a set standard that you want to ordain your life by.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that are going to govern my life. And basically standards, you know, people tend to move away from the word moral, because if I say moral, then I'm going to be saying religion. And not realizing that whether you're a religious person or not, you must live by some set standards, whether they're good or bad. You must live by standards. And regardless of what your standards are, those are the morals that you choose for your life.
Yeah.
And if you are living by a set amount of standards and realizing that they are not working, then it's time for you to change. And the best standard you to live your life by is to get to know the person. Establish something between you and that person before you start to become sexual, because the sexual part of it should come after marriage, not before, for the simple fact that sex is something not only binds you physically, but emotionally.
Yes.
You know, regardless
yes.
of how casual,
yes.
you might want to say, no, I'm not in love with this person, it's just a physical thing. No, sex is never at any time a physical thing, no matter how casual, or you just met this person. At some point, it's going to form some type of emotional bond.
That's right.
Even if it's just one time, because the thought is going to be there that, hey, 6 months ago I slept with Brian Lynch, somebody I never met before or somebody I probably never going to see again. But that thought is always going to be there. So that alone tells you that it forms and it creates an emotional bond.
Mm-hmm.
And that
and go ahead, Brian.
And that is why it's dangerous to create that bond if you do not have any intention of forming a lifetime partnership with that person.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And go ahead.
And I believe that it also creates a spiritual bond, you know, because even in the garden, when God gave Eve to Adam, he told them that they would become one flesh,
yes.
You know, and they, of course, she came from his rib and all of that stuff. But there's something that happens when you connect with someone like that in a sexual aspect,
yes.
Of connecting, because you're giving themselves. You're giving to them a part of yourself that's very, very intimate. And a lot of people don't see it like that. They see it as casual. But I don't believe that sex can ever be casual.
Amen.
I believe that it is always, like you said, Brian, an emotional connection. And I also believe that there's a spiritual connection, that the two do become one. And a lot of people talk about God saying, not to have sex. And we look at the Bible as a whole bunch of rules and regulations, but the thing about not having sexual intimacy before marriage is I believe that God gave us that regulation to protect us.
Of course.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
This has nothing to do with God. And if you look at it this way, I can take God out of this equation right away and show you where it's wrong for you to commit yourself sexually to a person before marrying to that person, for the simple fact that there's so many diseases out there. There's so many unwanted kids out there. There's so many emotions that are out there torn apart for the simple fact that you slept with someone and then 2 weeks later or even the next day, never call you back. And you know, you never hear from that person again. And there are a lot of women out there that are left so emotionally devastated for the simple fact that they had sex with someone who is not their husband. So it's not even so much about God. It's about you. It's about us, you know, the individual. For the simple fact that we are the one being hurt by it. You know, this is hurting God.
Exactly.
But it's hurting us more. You know, say, I'm not a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in your religion. I don't follow religion. That is why when I wrote this book, there is not one. I wrote 105,000 words, and the word God is not mentioned in there at one point, for the simple fact that I did not want anyone to read this book and say, I'm not a religious person, so it does not apply to me.
Exactly.
And very much so, it applies to everyone out there who's trying to get into a relationship, whether you're a Buddhist, you're a monk, whether you're Catholic or whatever religion, it applies to you for the simple fact that you are trying to get into a relationship and put in the cart before the horse.
Yes.
Because once you think that, okay, well, I'm going to try the sex out to make sure it's good.
Mm.
Now, that is the excuse. You know, a lot of people, their first question is, what if I get married to this person and the sex is no good? For the simple fact that you lack communication. That alone show you that you were not ready for that relationship because you didn't have any communication with this person, because I know what I like sexually, and whoever I'm going to date, I'm pretty sure they know what they like sexually. And if we can communicate that back and forth with each other, we can find out if we are sexually compatible. So there's no need for me to go lay in a bed with her to find out how she is sexually.
That is not a conversation that people are having during the dating process. I mean, ideally, it would be good to say, okay, we're having coffee. We're going to talk about what we like in bed. That is not a conversation that people have, Brian. Realistically, people just do it. They don't talk about it. They end up doing it. And that's how they find out whether or not they like it. And this is for people who are Christians or not Christians, which is why I wanted to talk about this today on Woman to Woman, because there are a lot of women out there who are Christian, who are having sex. They're not married, and then there's bearing the repercussions of sitting at home waiting for him to call, wondering why he hasn't called. He hasn't called because you gave it up. And that's the thing. We really have to hold on to that, which is most precious, which has been reserved by God for marriage. And I know that your book is not a spiritual book, but I know that you are a Christian man. And I do appreciate the way that you've written this book, because I've written a book similar without using religion, so to speak. But I appreciate what you're doing, and you're trying to make a positive difference in the world with your book.
Amen, amen. But
people say, because people have a hard time talking about sex, because they look at sex as a dirty thing. And they say, okay, well, when is it a good time to talk about sex? You're starting to get to know the person. And after you reach the point where, I could see myself in a marriage with this person. Once you start having those tendencies and those likeness, that's when it's a good time to talk about sex. You know, sex is not a dirty thing. If you can do it, you can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are doing it and this person is not your husband, it's even more dirtier than talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People like to say, oh, well, this is 2008. God changes not. He said,
Amen.
I am God. I change not. And if this was the requirement for Moses, it is the same requirement for us.
Amen.
So there must be a reason why he said that.
And I would like to just go back to the standards piece when you.
But before you do that, Lady Renee, before you do that, we do have a call, and I want to make sure that all of the callers have an opportunity to get on the air, because a lot of people are listening during their lunch break.
Yes,
call us 240. You're on the air.
How you doing? Actually, this is one of your chat room listeners, Experienced Black Man.
Oh, God bless you. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, my comment is kind of simple. I understand talking about God and everything, but the majority of what I see out here from my experience, I'm married myself, been married 10 years, been with my wife 13, actually going on 14 years. But what I'm learning is it's about the man. Most men don't know. You know, we're taught love from a woman. We're not taught love at home, or we're not taught how to respect a woman or how to love a woman. So everything that we're doing or trying to get into talking to women or dealing with women, we'll never get past if women don't understand that we are going to learn from them and them only, because most men are not taught how to love a woman, how to respect a woman, what a woman really needs, what it consists of, loving a woman or really giving her what she needs or what she wants. So we go into this kind of blind thinking it's about the sex, because that's, as young men, that's what we're taught. We're taught that it's about the sex. You get some sex and everything will be okay. We're not taught anything else. So most young men are raising young men.
That is true.
So it goes back to the women I believe that if women are having young men and raising young men, if they have daughters and young men, they have to take their standards and make their standards high for young men and for young women.
Amen.
And if we make their standards high, we make our daughters start believing that they have to date. I have a 13-year-old daughter. She doesn't date, and I talk to her why she can't date, because I see grown women who can't handle relationships and a job. But
exactly.
I'm going to put distress on my 13-year-old, 14- or 15-year-old daughter. No. Focus on school. That's what daddy wants you to do. And when you're smart enough at 20, you can make a better decision for a man than you would have made at 17.
Exactly.
So it starts at home. I didn't have a two-parent household, but I saw what was the problem with my sisters. I saw what was the problem with myself. I got to run rampant, and my sisters, my mother held, they couldn't go here and they couldn't do that, but I can have females come see me. I never was taught how to respect a woman. I had plenty of relationships. So now that I'm with my wife, guess what? I'm learning now, and we've been married. So I tell women that you have to ask the right question. How long have you been in a relationship is important, because if the longest I've been in a relationship was 6 months, what do you think I'm going to be able to bring to this one?
Mm. My God. Yes, yes. And I would like to just interject. Who teaches us how to love? And I understand, like, you know, Pastor Rebecca, you know, about your show and everything. But the truth of the matter is, when we give our lives to God, I don't know if you have or not, if Jesus Christ is even your personal Lord and Savior, but I'm going to tell you that we learn how to love through him. And he begins to give us his standards, you know, and we understand that we deserve the best. And so, therefore, as we know that we deserve the best, we are able to now teach that to our children, because it's about breaking the patterns. We don't have to repeat what we saw mommy go through or what we saw daddy go through. We can learn a different way and, therefore, begin to set some changes, positive, effective changes in our own lives so that our daughters will see the moms being honored. I mean, we have to know as women that you choose someone that's going to bring you flowers, that's going to respect you, that's going to love you and honor you. And then your sons, you make sure that you're the kind of woman that you would want your sons to want to marry. If you're the type of mother, if you're the type of mother that you're loose and you know, you're just out there and you're foul, well, you know what? Your son, 9 times out of 10, is going to be attractive to the same kind of woman that he was reared by. And the same thing with the girls. So they have to see that in the home. And it does start at the home, but I'm going to tell you that love outside of God is dysfunctional, because it doesn't come with everything. It's not designed to come with everything, because you need to be able to love unconditionally, because every relationship goes through storms. And even though someone stays in a relationship for 20 years, it doesn't really say to me that was a good relationship. I have people that I've met that were married for 25 years, and then at the end of those 25 years, they want a divorce because now the kids are old enough. So sometimes, you know, you can't just go by how long someone has been in a relationship, because it doesn't tell me that it was fruitful and that it was productive and enriching. Amen?
And it's probably from how they started.
Yes, yes, yes. So the standards.
A lot of times people stay in relationships simply for their kids. It don't necessarily mean that they're happy.
Yes.
And that is why, as you said, you know, once the kids are old enough, then they say, okay, well, the kids are old enough. There's no reason for me to be here anymore.
Yes.
But they wanted to leave a long time ago, and they figure out, okay, well, it's a better thing for me to stay. And not realizing that, hey, this is not good. Because if they are seeing you arguing back and forth every day, that is what they're learning. They are learning that, hey, this is the way it's supposed to be in a relationship.
Right.
This is normal in a relationship.
Yes.
And
yes.
Those things are not normal. If you and a person, you know, two grown people who consider themselves adults are arguing back and forth every day, or even once in a while, you know, in front of their kids. There's nothing normal about that. Not because people do it so constantly. It doesn't mean that it's normal. It simply means that they're lacking that knowledge of being able to say, honey, let us sit down and talk about our differences.
Amen.
And let us not raise our voice about this.
Yes.
You know, come, let us sit down. I will listen to what you have to say, and I need you to listen to what I have to say. That is the normal thing to do. There is absolutely nothing normal or should be considered okay two of us. Hey, I want you to listen, or shouting back and forth. There's nothing normal or okay about that. You know, so
we don't.
I hear people all the time say that, you know, marriages go through argument. It simply goes through argument and those back and forth, loud conversations, for the lack of the knowledge that either one of them is able to say that, hey, this is not right. Let us sit down and be able to converse one-to-one, and I listen to what you have to say, and you listen to what I have to say, for the simple reason that if I'm shouting and you're shouting, who is listening?
Yes.
But what if we were never taught how to communicate that way?
That's what I'm saying. The lack of knowledge. The lack of the knowledge is there because no one, you know, that is why people accept this as something normal. But there's nothing normal about that.
But we're trying to, and we want to give the solution. The solution is emotional maturity. You know,
exactly.
as you begin to examine that situation and you say, you know what, this bickering back and forth, I don't want to do this because actually what it is a lot of unresolved issues that a lot
exactly.
of
Amen. And I want to go back. I just want to go back
yes.
to what our guest was saying, the caller was saying
yes.
about women teaching men how to love them
yes.
and about what our author, Brian O. Lynch, is saying about being able to communicate and knowing how to communicate with each other. The thing about it is communication is key, and
yes.
we have to, like Brian said, we have to have peace within ourselves,
yes.
P-E-A-C-E, before we can go out and try to get that peace, P-I-E-C-E, a paper just
yes.
showing that we're married. And for the experienced black man, I just want to say to you, I commend you for what you're doing with your daughter because
yes.
she does not have any business dating, trying to find a man to validate her right now in her young years. I made that mistake for so many years. I looked for love in all of the wrong places. And it was only when I learned that I was lovable, and that was through God, that I learned that God loved me so much. I had to learn about the fact that I was valuable, that I was somebody, and that stopped me from just going out there giving myself to men who could not appreciate me.
Yeah.
So women, we need to learn how to love ourselves.
Amen. Amen.
Before we can expect.
To add on that, I really believe that it's really about that. It's about women loving themselves and being able to put a smile on their face. Growing up, I heard so many women upset or not happy,
mm-hmm.
but they happy when they get a phone call from a guy or something
right.
like that. And my problem is with that is if you don't know what makes you happy, if you don't know how to walk past the mirror, see yourself and smile, how do you expect me to come in there and do the same thing?
Mm,
my God, that's
that.
Key right there
mm.
because the
yes.
thing with me, it was daddy love. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I tell you, stay in your daughter's life because there are a lot of women out there searching for that love that they never got from their fathers.
Yes.
And they're looking for the men in their lives to give them what they've been missing all of their lives.
Yes,
and they
yes.
and they seem to lower their standards a little bit just to get a little taste of what they've been missing.
That's
and I
right.
I tell your daughter will stand a better chance if she see you loving her mother the right way. And
I'm an affectionate person.
Yes, no,
so she definitely sees that.
Yes, and see this. In other words, kids usually gravitate toward what's familiar to them because they internalize their upbringing. Okay, so if she's seeing daddy being respectful to mommy, daddy's loving mommy, daddy's giving mommy cards just because. Oh, when they have a disagreement, daddy and mommy talk like two, you know, mature adults. I've never seen daddy slap mommy or curse mommy or vice versa. Then you know what? She's gonna be to a man that's going to treat her the same way. But if she sees daddy's not home, daddy goes away 2-3 days at a time, mommy's stressed out, daddy is. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, a lot of stuff is so foundational that we can stop right now. It doesn't matter where we came from. We can decide at any moment, enough is enough. I'm doing my life different. Amen?
But here's the key. I'm raising my son the exact same way.
That's right.
My
and that's,
son
that's
will be
awesome.
Raised the same way. He won't be dating. He'll be focused on school.
That's
He'll
right.
be going to school for the simple fact you won't go out here and ruin some young lady's life and get
that's
her
right.
pregnant early, and you go on about your education. So I believe that if
mm-hmm.
these women are raising young men to be the type of men that they would want to date, then we would learn these things at home. But we're not, and we're
I
putting
agree.
Our sons out on these women out here and these young ladies who don't even know now have to go through so much and trying to build up a great man when it may take them 10 or 15 years to get us to the point where we never learned it. And by that
but
time,
you know the only person we can blame for that? Men. Because
mm-hmm.
men are falling out of homes. You know,
there you
70%.
Go.
70% of homes right now, you know, especially in the African American community, 70% of these homes are being run by single mothers. Where are the men? The men are supposed to be the head of the household. The men are supposed to be the leaders to set the standards and say that, hey, this is what God ordains us to do. Where are the men to say that, hey, this is not right. Hey, this is what you're supposed to do. This is the right thing for you to do, and this is what going to work for you in the future. The men are missing.
Mm-hmm.
But the men are missing, and this burden is carried on to the women who are not ordained to do this work. This is not their work.
But you know what? You know what, Brian? A lot of women believe that they can do the job of a mother and father. I commend the women who have.
But they have no other choice but to do it. My mother was a single parent. She didn't choose to be a single parent. It was something that she was left with.
Right, now, those
women nowadays.
We can't complain about that. That's an event that happened. But I'm talking about the women who say, well, I can do this on my own. You can't be a father. My mother was the same
she
way.
She have
my
no
mother,
choice but to say, you know why? She said that I just by
my
own.
Mother tried to be a strong
wait a
woman.
Second, guys. Allow me a second.
She has to tell herself that because she have to motivate her own self to say, I can do this. She don't necessarily mean that I don't need you. She basically have to motivate herself to tell herself that, hey, I have to do. Basically, what she's saying is that, hey, he's not here, so I can do this. I can.
Okay.
She's not saying that I don't need a man. Or she
wait a second, Brian. Wait a second. I believe that our caller is talking about the woman who is pushing her man away, saying, I don't need you. I can do this on my own. Is that what you're saying, caller?
Not the woman who has to deal with the man not being a man and walking out of the relationship, but the woman who believe that I don't need a man to do this.
Mm.
Look, my mother was a strong woman, a strong black woman, and she raised boys and she raises boys to be men. But she saw herself as doing two jobs. I saw a strong woman. I didn't see a strong man. I saw a strong woman. So I never got the strong man view. I got the strong woman view, but I never saw her as the man. She was trying to be it all she can be, but I didn't get that man part that was missing. So, Brian, I agree with you is what I'm saying. The men have failed us. This generation right here and where we are, we've been failed. They was trying to be the first black man in their family to graduate from college or do something like that, and they forgot to worry about us. And then they make the statement and say, oh, you can't tell them nothing. Well, when I raised myself, you can't come and tell me nothing right now. You should have been telling me this years and years ago. But now I'm grown and you want to tell me, oh, these guys don't listen. We got to go back to the young men in the school system, the young men, the mentoring program, things like this to show these young men how do you treat women, how do you respect women. But most of all, these women have to teach their sons this as well. Look, I can't be your father. This is what has to be said, Brian. I can't be your father, but I'm going to do the best job I can being your mother and filling the job that he won't do. Then I can say, you know what? I'm going to put this blame where it lies. And I believe that these young men and women, I think that I know that if my wife left me with the kids, I'm going to have a lot more responsibility taking on the kids than she will. So I have to step my game up. And if a woman is going to take on the kids and say, I'm going to take the kids, you go on about your business, she should know that I'm taking much more responsibility than this guy is. But it's not about the child support. I don't even care about the money. I will make you come see your child. I will make you because it's important. Later on, you will appreciate me making you being your child's life. Later on, you will.
Right, but that's hard to do because you can't make somebody. Now, the judge would order someone to pay child support, the woman or the man, but he cannot order them to see their children. That's up to them if they want to have visitation rights. You know that? And you do have people that will walk off away from their children, fathers as well as mothers. That's a situation that if someone is not ready to be a parent, no, we cannot force them. It really
that's why we came all the way back around to the rules to love and why we should have standards when we're dating and why we should not just be jumping into bed with different people and procreating, having babies out of wedlock. And if we have some babies, if you have some babies, this is not condemnation. Because I had a child when I was 16 years old, and she's in her 30s now and doing well. But what I'm saying is we can avoid a lot of trouble for ourselves and for these children that we're bringing into the world if we set higher standards for ourselves. And if we just took some caution before we jumped into some of these relationships that we're jumping into.
Amen. And far as like the standards, we have to, you know, where do we get the standards from? We have to be careful that we don't use superficial standards, things that are subject to change. We really need to know who we are. And when we know who we are and where we're going, then we're better to choose. We're in a better position to choose. And we're not choosing based on just how they look and what type of car they drive, where they went to school. All those things are fine and good as secondary criteria, but the first criteria, the primary criteria, needs to be their heart. Like, are they rooted and grounded in God? Do they know where they're going? I mean, are they comfortable with who God called them to be? Do they even know who God called them to be? Because how can you harmonize with someone and even be thinking about building a life with someone who does not know where they're going?
And I just want to say, you know, with the time running out, that I have been dating, you know, ever since growing up. And there's some key questions, you know, that I think that women should ask. And, you know, the thing about it is that there's yet to be a woman that asks me these questions. You know, what are your future aspirations as far as being a father? Do you think about having kids? Do you want to have kids? Do you want to get married? You know, women don't ask these questions of the men that they're dating. And that is why you find so many, you know, I'm not blaming the women, because they're supposed to ask, and as well as the men supposed to say, hey, I don't want any kids. So if we're going to have sex, make sure, you know, you do the necessary things that we don't have any kids. You know, but these are ways you can protect yourself as far as being a single parent. Do you want to have kids? If this person is answering you no, then make sure that that does not happen, because a lot of men, you know, whether you have the child or not, if that's not what they want, they're not going to stick around, and you cannot force them to stick around.
No, you can't. You can't.
You know, we've seen so often that, hey, you know, it's about time that people realize that a child is not going to keep a person who does not want to be kept.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Well, our time is surely has run out, and I wanted to thank Brian O. Lynch. I wanted to talk about those questions. They could be found in Brian's book, and the name of Brian's book is The Rules to Love. And Brian Lynch is passionate about what he does, because he was raised, I believe, by a single mom. Yes, he was raised by a single mother, Valerie Lynch, and we give a big shout-out to her for the great job that she has done with him.
Yes.
But you want to go over to Brian's website, which is valsonwritings.com.
Yes.
So it's valsonwritings.com. And check out his book, check out what he's doing. He has gathered together a group of writers who are writing books, including myself, Brian. I'm going to join your network of writers who are writing books to make a difference in the world, to make a difference in the world. And that's where we need to be, on that track. I want to thank our caller, Experienced Black Man, for calling in. I welcome you to call in anytime to share your viewpoints. I believe you can contribute to the show greatly. And Lady Renee, as always, I thank you for being here. And I want to give the floor to Brian Lynch as we close out for any closing comments that you might have.
I just want to say that both men and women, when you're dating, just take it slow. Get to know the person. Ask questions, because that's the only way you're going to get answers. You know, never assume anything. If you have to assume something, it just simply means that there's a question that you have yet to ask. And, you know, take it slow. never rush into it, and allow yourself enough time to get to know the person. And not only that, because you might know that person, but allow yourself enough time for that person to get to know you. And then you make a decision based on the information that you have, not based on the feelings that you have. May God bless you.
Amen. Amen. And our caller, do you have any closing remarks?
I'd just like to say congratulations to Brian on his book, and it was a joy talking to everyone. I think we all made valid points today, and it basically starts at home. If we can get young men and women to understand that we have to raise standards and all, we'll be a lot better as people.
Amen.
Amen, and praise God. And Lady Renee.
Oh, Lady Renee is just full. I've just been tremendously blessed. Thank you all for sharing your great insights. It really was just a blessing, just a blessing. Amen.
Amen, and God bless you all. That's the end of today's program. This is
Radio.
Pastor Rebecca Simmons of New Creation Christian Ministries signing out. Join us next week, Thursday at 12 o'clock noon for Woman to Woman. And in the meantime, remember to ask those questions. Get Brian's book. Make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember that God loves you, and so do we here at Power in the Word. Peace. God bless you all.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.